This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, when we record this show, the Paracast, we're using a special application for Mac called Audio Hijack, which does what it says. It grabs audio from multiple sources. And before we do that, we have a feature, a denoise feature, to reduce background noise, and it will learn background noise over a three-second process. So, therefore, the noise is learned. And in response to that comment, Randall said,
"It sounds like a good name for a band. I imagine there probably is a band called The Noise, actually. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised.
How about a band called The Noise Is Learned?
I wouldn't be surprised about that either. Band names these days are like domain names. There's registries, and you go out there and you try to find a name, and there's just about a 90% probability or higher that whatever name you think you've got that is cool, somebody else has already got it. Well, and you can't use that name necessarily depending on what sort of union you're in. Like actors, even actors can't use their real name if it's the same name as somebody else.
Let me give you an example of that. We had an actor. He was one of the monkeys, no longer around, David Jones. We had another guy, an aspiring singer named David Jones, but he couldn't use that name. It's taken, so he became David Bowie.
And we've all heard of him, and he's no longer around either, I guess, unfortunately.
Did you ever see him in concert?
Yes. I saw him in Edmonton up here. It was one of the most amazing shows I've ever seen.
Miguel?
No, I don't know if Bowie ever performed here in Mexico.
Well, he's probably the most famous one I saw. I saw him with my son Grayson in the early 2000s. I think it was before he had a heart attack. So it may have been one of the last concerts he gave, but he really worked hard. I don't know why we're talking about this.
Well, it's interesting how...
The noise.
Well.
But you know who has toured in Mexico, who's really super famous, and I was just watching a documentary about this, is the Rolling Stones. They're like huge down in like Central America and even in South America too. I couldn't believe it. Like, it's amazing that these guys can just keep on going and do what they do year after year after year at their age.
Another example is Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was, Paul McCartney, I've seen him twice here in Mexico.
I would love to see that, but I have a suspicion.
Yeah.
I have a suspicion that the tickets will be $200 each.
Not in Mexico.
Well, it depends where you sit. Yeah, not in Mexico.
Right, but I don't want to have to use a telescope.
Well, yeah, but sometimes with those kind of concerts, it doesn't matter where you sit because it's such a great performance. Unless what you want to do is to actually be there and see the man, you know, right up front, close, without the need of a screen, right? The giant screen behind the band. But now the irony is that nobody does that anyway, because everybody is watching the concert from the screen of their own cell phone, which is really annoying in my opinion. Like, nobody can experience a concert without the filter of social media that, you know, I Instagram, therefore I am.
That is such a valid observation, and I haven't been to a big concert, well, since the Stones at BC Place out here, which is pretty big too. But they, not everybody and their dog had a cell phone necessarily out for that, you know. This is back in the 80s, so it just wasn't like today. That is a really bizarre thing. Like, why even bother? I mean, you could stay home and watch it on your big screen TV.
By the way, I was just looking here at the prices in France. It ranges from a start of $89 for the rear, okay, to $287 right up to the front area. Whoa.
But yeah, okay, let's just dive right in here then to the onto the deep end then, okay? Because Miguel, Red Pill Junkie is your moniker. That's like your persona, your stage name. And of course that comes straight out of the Matrix, okay? Which kind of ties into this whole way that our consciousness seems to be moving into this digital realm. Just the other day, I watched The Matrix again for about the 14th time. Seems like every few number of months I'll, you know, just put it on. And I still see things in it that I didn't notice the time before. So lately, I've been having this feeling, and I've had this feeling all my life. Like, you know, in The Matrix, of course, you must know The Matrix pretty well. When Neo meets Morpheus, and Morpheus sits him down and explains to him why he's there. You know that scene? Mm-hmm. He goes, you're here because you know something, right?
It tells him that there's something wrong about the world that you can't point out. The splinter in your head driving you mad.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know what it is. You just feel like you're displaced, like the world that you're in isn't your own. And do you ever feel like that yourself?
All the time. well, yeah, at some point. I think that's the primal characteristic of the psychology of the outsider. Someone who's never felt comfortable being part of the mainstream group, being part of the cool kids, people who question the raison d'etre of societal rules. You know, why those things have to be this way? You know, why we have to be this way instead of the other way? Why we have to go to church? Why we have to get up in the morning and go to school? You know, why? And the people who are more successful in this life are those who accept those rules, you know, without a question, you know. Like, I remember listening to a podcast. Someone was mentioning an interview with a very famous and very successful football coach. And the journalist asked the coach, okay, what's the secret behind your success in this game? And the coach replied, the secret is to understand the game very well, but not to the point of really comprehending how meaningless it really is. Right? I guess there are many things in society that are like that. I don't know. Getting back to your question, yeah, I feel that's one of the reasons why many people are interested in this field. It's probably something of a chicken and egg question. I mean, is it because you are wired in a certain kind of way that you are drawn to these very obscure, marginalized topics, or versus the other way around, that because you are interested in these topics that you yourself become marginalized and drawn away from the quote-unquote normal or desirable pursuits in society? You know, I guess probably it's an unanswerable question, and it's probably a thing of a bit of both.
We're going to have a bit of both announcements here. We've got Red Pill Junkie And me and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
We can all agree these are troubled times, right? So do you know who's on your wireless network? Whether it's a big company selling your data or a foreign hacker, if you're not protected, everybody sees your information. That's why you need Flash Routers, a custom Wi-Fi router created for privacy. Flash Routers uses a virtual private network or VPN to protect your online activity from hackers, trackers, and large corporations. And not just one, but all your devices with one out-of-the-box setup. Plus, Flash Routers also enhances your wireless network performance and unlocks powerful router management tools to let you take total control of your network. Call or click Flash Routers today at 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. That's 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. Protect your wireless home network today with Flash Routers.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Join me, George Norrie, at the Health Freedom Expo October 25th and 26th in Tinley Park near Chicago. The Health Freedom Expo is an incredible weekend exploring the latest in natural and alternative medicine with more than 100 lectures, workshops, and exhibits. Meet leading experts including Patch Adams, Lisa Oz, Ocean Robbins, Doc Wallach, Aaron Elizabeth, and so many more. Plus, I'll host a luncheon and discussion on natural healing breakthroughs. The Health Freedom Expo can help you learn to achieve a naturally vibrant and healthy life. Join us to explore how you can take your wellness into your own hands and meet others who are doing the same thing. Get your tickets today at TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com. That's TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com or call 1-888-658-3976. That's 1-888-658-3976. TrinityHealthExpo.com or 1-888-658-3976.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have that knowledgeable, brilliant philosopher himself, Red Pill Junkie. Are you a philosopher, sir?
No. I guess everybody is a philosopher in a certain way. If you devote time to think about things, right? Maybe most people don't have inclination because they're too busy, you know, living life, whatever. No, I wouldn't consider myself a philosopher, you know. I would prefer to be used that title that John Keel used in his business card, not an authority on anything.
Or as some people say, a professor of ignorance. That's what I use.
That's good. That's a good one, too.
That's a way of being overly modest, I think. Of course, we have a couple of threads on the forum here where we get into talking about philosophy. And, you know, one of the points that was made along the way somewhere is that if you philosophize, it makes you a philosopher. I think it's only this sort of special status that we put on, say, famous personalities or people with academic credentials, but they're not really needed. And anyone who takes the time to think about these deeper subjects, to philosophize about them, to wonder about our place in the world, and if they do that enough and it matters to them and they write about it, they think about it, they express their opinions and beliefs in a well-substantiated, thought-out manner, which you do because you do write these articles from time to time and come up with lots of ideas about it on your own. So, you know, maybe you might not consider yourself to be a philosopher, but I'd say you probably fall into that category.
Well, thanks. I appreciate the compliment. I agree that you don't need a college degree, you know, a piece of paper that tells, yeah, this man is a certified philosopher. That's, you know, kind of nonsense. Yeah, you can study philosophy in university. That doesn't make you a philosopher. Terence McKenna didn't finish college, and I consider him to be one of the most important philosophers of the late 20th century. Of course, you wouldn't find his name in the standard curricula of philosophy studies, and yet the impact and the spread of his message, it would be enviable to, you know, someone like Nietzsche. You know, I'm pretty sure that if you search for Nietzsche or Nietzsche related videos on YouTube, it would pale in comparison with the number of videos you will find about Terence McKenna.
And you know, I'm not an expert in who said what when it comes to philosophy, but now he's more into altered states of consciousness, I think, if I'm recalling sort of what he's about more, right?
Yes, for sure, definitely. That was his shtick. He was the Barth of the psychedelic movement after the likes of Timothy O'Leary or Alan Watts, maybe, or Randas. We're not making the cut anymore. Well, I'm not going to say Randas, but Timothy Leary, for sure, he was already too old, maybe a bit too tired or just too boring for the new audiences, and that's when Terence McKenna found his niche. But I think that the brilliance in McKenna is that he could expand beyond the mere things about psychedelics. He could also talk about any kind of topics. He was a polymath. His brother Dennis, he said that his brother's brilliance was he was able to mesmerize his audience by talking with considerable authority about any topic, and maybe his opinion would not be valid or correct, but the way he would say it, it would sound, you know, like it would convince you. He had charisma, and I respect that. You can listen to his lectures on YouTube or whatever, and there's still a lot of what he says that I found valid. Obviously, he made mistakes. You know, I guess his more blatant mistake was his adherence with his theory of his time wave zero theory, that there will be in the year 2012 coinciding with the end of the Mayan calendar, there will be some kind of like singularity or eschaton that will be achieved, and that's when there will be kind of like revolution and a transformation of mankind. And many of his friends, Rupert Sheldrake, for example, will take him to task because at one point it sounded like an interesting idea, but they never really bought it. And then some people started to question it, you know, mathematicians who found blatant errors in his calculation, his years, because he wasn't really a scientist, you know. Like we're saying, he was a philosopher. He was a big picture kind of person, and that's something that's sorely lacking in this world, I feel, because one of the problems with modern science, in my opinion, is over-specialization. You know, you will have a microbiologist who will never have an inclination to learn anything about maybe astronomy, you know, and likewise an astronomy who will not have any inclination to learn about ancient history. But the culture needs people who can take a big picture kind of perspective and trying to connect the dots between seemingly disparaging fields of study. And that's when you get people like, for example, Graham Hancock, who finds interesting ideas in astronomy, in archaeology, in geology, and they put together these pieces and come up with something that's revolutionary, you know, and even somewhat heretical orthodox science, the idea that, yeah, there might have been a very advanced civilization that was wiped out around, you know, 15,000, 13,000 years ago. And astronomers will say that's nonsense. Archaeology will say that's nonsense. But then sooner or later, there are more pieces of the puzzle that give credence to these heretical ideas. And then sooner or later, the heretical ideas become part of the orthodoxy.
We're going to break in a moment. And I just want to observe that scientists keep moving back the origins of early humanity. Hundreds of thousands of years ago, they keep finding these fossils. They're older and older. And you wonder here, when life started on Earth, humanoid life, we've been around for a while, but we're still messing things up. Red Pill Junkie, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, we are trying not to screw things up. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A big post-Thanksgiving storm system is moving into the Northeast, causing travel troubles. Rain is expected in the Mid-Atlantic, and other parts of the country are now seeing snow. WPRI TV reporter Brittany Schaefer is talking with people at Rhode Island's TF Green Airport.
Dorothy and Robert Todd are flying home to Tampa early. They tell me their flight was scheduled for Monday morning, but they rescheduled due to the storm.
We knew we weren't going to get out. So we tried Manchester, where we were going out of, couldn't get out of Boston, and we got a flight out of here.
The first major snowstorm of the season, arriving as millions are traveling home from the Thanksgiving holiday. AAA estimates 4.5 million people to fly over the holiday. Robert Todd tells me it wasn't easy finding an earlier flight.
Had to change, you know, three different airports before we found a flight.
This is USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount and then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product and one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I wonder, guys, if is any way to even know what might have happened, like if we had this advanced civilization 10 or 15,000 years ago. We can call it Lemuria, Atlantis, whatever. Would there be artifacts still here now if there was a major catastrophe? How many years after we're wiped out would all evidence or most evidence of our existence be gone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. There was even a recent paper submitted by two scientists. It was kind of like a mind experiment of trying to see if you could find traces of an advanced civilization that was millions of years old. And mind you, it's not like these guys are saying there was such a thing. You know, we're not talking here about reptilians, having flying saucers or whatever millions of years before the advent of Homo sapiens. What they were saying is that the way of geological processes happen, if such a civilization would have existed back then, there would be absolutely no remnants of them that would have survived in our present time. So that's something that we should be keeping mindful, that there's something interesting.
Well, I don't know if I would go that far because, I mean, think about it. We have fossils of living things,
sure,
that are hundreds of millions. I mean, you know, it's the evidence is out there for things like, sure, dinosaurs and trilobites, and it's like science knows a lot about the past. And things don't just disappear that easily, you know. So especially things that don't break down. Like, so for example, we've got these nuclear waste dump sites that are in this really super stable bedrock that millions of years from now will still be there. And somebody could dig it up and find the remains of, you know, our nuclear waste dumps. And there'd be no question that there was some civilization here.
Well, but we're talking about maybe different things here. We're talking about fossils. And yeah, obviously fossils can be preserved for millions of years, provided there are special conditions for it, you know, like no predation from animals that will, you know, destroy the carcass or whatever, the right minerals that manage to preserve the carcass, lack of oxygen, things like that, you know. I'm not an expert in geology, but I will say that the percentage of living tissue that manages to be converted into a fossil, you know, into a non-organic material, is almost infinitesimal, you know, compared with the amount of life that existed in our planet, you know, in ancient times. And also let's look at the fragility of our modern technology. You know, for example, what happens when you have something stored in a compact disc? A compact disc is not something that is going to last like forever. It will only be usable for maybe 20 to 30 years. And I'm not even talking about if you are able to find a machine that will be able to read the information on the disc. You know, I'm talking about the way that that material, the plastic, it gets degraded by things like ultraviolet radiation. In other words, the light of the sun, right? Plastics are also very brittle due to the action of the environment. So it's difficult to ascertain just the kind of things that could be preserved in a long amount of time. And obviously I'm using the example of our modern technology, and the problem with our technology is that it is made, designed to break down, you know, by economic forces that wants us to keep replacing our telephones, keep replacing our cars, keep replacing our refrigerators every number of years, because that's how our economy works. Maybe another civilization will have other impulses, you know, to create something that will maybe store information that will last a great amount of time. I'm thinking right now of, I don't know if you guys have heard of this crazy project to create a clock that is supposed to last 10,000 years. I think it's called the Long Now project. And it's been sponsored by Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world. I think these guys want to build this clock inside some deep cavern. And they want it to last there longer than the pyramids. And it's really, really hard because we're not used, you know, modern Westerners, we're not used to thinking in such long amounts of time. We think in very immediate terms, you know, things.
Well, okay. I mean, yeah, I think there's some valid points there for sure. But I mean, okay, so like you know, we look it up quickly, and we yeah. find that, you know, even microscopic life that you would think was, you know, too small to survive any sort of record, and yet we find 3.7 billion years old fossil records of life on Earth. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I mean, and that's something as fragile as like microscopic bacteria.
Sure.
It just seems inconceivable to me that if there was a civilization, an entire civilization, that there would be no trace of it anywhere. other than in mythology. You know, it just it's. I could see maybe some small, like, okay, here's what I'm willing to sort of go with. Some isolated civilization that didn't spread through the whole planet, but maybe it was just on some area, you know, let's go with the whole Atlantis thing, some isolated island out in the middle of the ocean near some subduction zone or something, millions of years ago, somehow was able to create enough industry and everything else for them to leave the planet, and they took off and the island sunk and went down into the subduction zone and it's gone. But I suppose that's possible.
One thing, Randall, I would think, though, if you had the civilization spawned on one continent, if they were that advanced to get off world, they would have explored the entire planet.
Yeah, you'd think so. You know, but, I was just trying to find, you know, where would the loophole be that would allow something like that to happen? It would have to be very specialized and, you know, a very specialized type situation to erase all their trace of their existence. It just seems like that seems even more difficult than creating the clock that would last,
You're just sitting with the possibility here. Say they decide to leave Earth for whatever reason. And did not want anyone to find evidence of their existence. So they did what some people do in terms of security. Well, they blow up their continent.
Yeah, maybe. And this is what I like it when I go to this and I go down this path. I don't think necessarily that it came from here. I still believe that alien visitation could have been a reality a long time ago. And they simply brought the technology with them, enough for them to create a community somewhere, but without all the requisite industry and mining and everything else that goes along with it in order to build it.
I just want to give you one thought. The end of the Ronald D. Moore version of Battlestar Galactica. RPJ, Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNlife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNlife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Randall, I raised the subject of the end, spoiler alert, of Battlestar Galactica, where they find Earth 100,000 years ago or something, and they land here. I wonder if that was in the back of the mind of Ronald D. Moore when he did this series.
Oh, very possibly. And I also like getting back to Terrence McKenna, his idea that maybe one way for a galactic civilization to spread throughout the universe is through the use of very advanced forms of genetic engineering and sending out spores of fungi that will be designed to link up and to change the cerebrum of a particular species on a given planet, the same way that our early ancestors might have spurred their cognitive evolution by consuming magic mushrooms. That was part of his stone date theory, which I think is very interesting. And that idea of exploring the galaxy not through the Battlestar Galactica or the Star Wars kind of analogy, but through something more radical, I think that's worth considering, because that's one of the problems I have with ufology. Most of our ideas are rooted in B movies from the 1950s, right? The idea that, yeah, we need to have the aliens coming using some kind of spaceship that either took a long time to come here, or they came here rather quickly because they know, hyperdrive or whatever. And they came here and they come here to mine or do what we will do in their place, which is kind of like a recreation of our imperial colonization of Western countries in the Americas and Africa and Asia. And we use that in order to try to explain the motivations of an alien species. And then there comes people like Thomas McKenna who think in very radical ways and say, well, no, maybe this alien species wants to expand their scope through the way of mushrooms, you know? And he thought that the mushroom was the perfect example of an alien species that came here millions of years ago and it started to alter the landscape in ways that benefited it, and also in ways that will create a symbiosis with an indigenous species, in this case, human beings.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure that would go along with our standard model of evolution and what we know about our genetics, though. You know, like there's people who studied that.
We now know that genes can jump from one species to the other. You know, that's something that has been, I think, is already established in modern science. But when he was telling these ideas, it wasn't really already accepted. But now I think it's, you know, established in modern biology. I could be wrong, you know. Please look it up. And this idea that we still need to try to understand what happened with our species, why there was such a sudden jumpstart in creativity and cultural evolution that started around, I don't know, 50,000, you know, 40,000 years ago, is something that Graham Hancock talks about, how for our first 100,000 years of the history of Homo sapiens, it was very monotonous, very boring, if you wish. You know, our ancestors were building the same kind of tools, were eating the same kind of foods, were making the same kind of things. But then there was some kind of explosion. And you can see it when they started painting the walls of caves in Europe and all those other places in Asia. And we are even discovering new things now with our discovery of other species of humans that we didn't even think they were here on this planet. The Denisovans, the Homo floresiensis, you know, the hobbit that inhabited the Flores Island. It's starting to look a lot like a prehistoric version of Lord of the Rings, if you wish. So, I don't know. I think that, in my opinion, these ideas are as valid as the ideas that are pushed by the likes of Giorgio Tsoukalos, who finds something weird in our history, and he goes and jumps and, oh, here, evidence of aliens. Not necessarily, you know. Maybe there are other explanations for it, like maybe Graham Hancock's theory of a previous human civilization, or maybe another explanation is the idea that human beings are able to connect with other realms, other levels of existence, other planes of consciousness, and maybe those planes of consciousness are inhabited by beings that interact with humans in a number of ways, maybe inspiring artists, inspiring philosophers and inspiring scientists in order to alter the world. And maybe there are beings in those realms who don't have our best intentions in mind. You know, there's also that possibility. Shamans in all cultures take all this for granted, that, yeah, human beings live in the middle world, and there are beings that live in the lower worlds, that those beings are dangerous, and there are beings that live in the higher worlds, and those beings are willing to help human beings if we know the means on how to contact them.
Well, okay, now that's when, you know, we're taking the red pill there, for sure. You know, because now
we're looking at a bunch.
You know, we're talking about a whole other realm of existence, which kind of brings us back around to how we started the show. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you know, there are, I mean, we're preaching to the audience here. Strange things happen in the world, and it's all not simply just figments of people's minds and imaginations. Now, okay, we can get into the idea of entheogens and hallucinogenics and so on, and I don't think there's any question that when we have a hallucination that is drug-induced, that what's happening is that our brain is producing the illusion. I don't think that we're dealing with an objectively independent reality. I think that's a different concept than sort of the red pill concept, which, of course, as you suggested at the beginning of the show, there's a metaphor for the way that societal structures are. But there's in the movie, it's also a way to move from one construct or reality into an entirely different one that is objectively real. And so that gets us into the ideas of multiverses, and there may be something to that, which I hadn't really considered that part of it in terms of our evolution. Like, what if, okay, there's another universe out there that is parallel to ours, but maybe 3 million years in advance of us, and they figured out a way to be able to come through some channel or portal and get here. Maybe.
We have to try to see if we are talking about the same thing. We have to be very careful, because I'm not necessarily saying that, yeah, if you take some psychedelic or whatever, then you get an altered view of reality. What people are suggesting is that when you take a psychedelic, you alter the chemical process in your brain that are designed to interpret reality in a certain given way, in a way that is accepted by the consensus. You know, we have to be very mindful that what you and I consider to be a quote-unquote normal reality is just another hallucination. It's just an hallucination in which you and I agree upon.
Well, that's the shared reality, the collective unconscious, maybe. We've got more to come with Red Pill Junkie. And Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of my pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented my pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.